Against the Nation listening for dedicated golfers. You found it. It's Tee to Green, the golf show. Jay Ritchie alongside Jerry Butenhoff back with you talking golf for another edition from the Broadmoor Resort, Colorado Springs, Colorado. The five-star Broadmoor Resort here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Back home again after spending last weekend and last Sunday's show on the road up at Keystone and the River Course. We'll be going back to Keystone, Jerry, in just a couple of weeks here and broadcasting that show from the Ranch Course, thanks to our good buddy up there, Steve Cornelier. We also got a chance to play a little golf last Sunday at the River Course. We played yesterday at a course called Perry Park here in Colorado, which is about maybe halfway between Colorado Springs and Denver, tucked away, nestled back in the woods there. And we'll talk a little bit about that coming up later in the hour. But it's been a fun week.
Yeah, nice course there yesterday, Perry Park Country Club. We'd heard a lot about it. We made it a little tougher than it really is at times, I think, yesterday. But that is the life of a recreational golfer, is it not?
It was one of those days, and everybody has those kinds of rounds where you play nine holes pretty well, and then the next nine holes you play like you never touched a golf club before.
Well, and like I told one of the guys that from the club there, I said, sometimes, you know, you got a certain part of your game that works on any particular day. Yesterday, I had nothing.
That happens in all sports.
It does. It does.
Well, later
sometimes
in the hour,
it's just not meant to be.
We'll try to hook up with someone from an organization called Golf the West, the GolfTheWestTour.com. It's a consortium of five Western Nebraska golf courses, and they put together some stay-and-play packages for that part of Nebraska, and we'll try to catch up with some folks there. Our first guest is paying us a return visit. Jay Blasey was with us back in April. April 19th, I think, was the date we talked to him. Jay spent 10 years of his life working for Robert Trent Jones, Jr. He was the project architect at Chambers Bay, a little golf course near Tacoma, Washington, that was in the news recently. Of course, it hosted last week's U.S. Open. And for better or for worse, depending on where you stand on Chambers Bay and the way things went last week, Jay was entrusted with preparing all the plans, coming up with routing and strategy. He worked directly with the shapers in the field on the details of the greens, the bunkers, and the grass lines on the course. He's now on his own with Jay Blasey Design, but we've got Jay Blasey back with us to talk about Chambers Bay. And Jay, thanks for coming back on Tee to Green. Great to have you with us again on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So are you taking the blame or getting the credit? Where are you falling on this whole thing?
Neither. Just happy to be part of it all. It was quite an amazing week, and fun to, after 7 years of build-up or 8 years of build-up, it was fun to actually see it all unfold and get a sense for how those guys would figure out that golf course.
I know you had a sense for how things would go and how it would play. From what you were thinking going in to what actually happened, pretty close or completely opposite or what?
Pretty close. I think the players who had the right attitude and really embraced the idea of the golf course, which is to use the ground contours to your advantage, which is, you know, a drastic departure from week in and week out on the tour. Those guys seemed to do a great job, and it was really fun for me to watch the players throughout the week just gain a better understanding. You know, I was out there all week and spent a fair amount of time with various players on their practice round Saturday through Wednesday. And their first go-round, you know, their eyes were wide open, and it was clear that, you know, this was something just different and kind of took them by surprise. And then by Tuesday or Wednesday, they were really starting to get it. And obviously the guys at the top, you could watch throughout the entire weekend, really were, you know, playing it 20 yards away and letting the slope take it to the hole and things like that.
Jay, we've seen this type of course, in the British Open all these years. I mean, maybe with, you know, certainly Chambers has a little more elevation top to bottom on the course and everything, but and maybe a few more extremes in some cases, but certainly these guys that have been veterans on the tour for a while, they've played this type of course before, and it almost didn't seem like they either didn't learn anything at some of those previous British Opens or weren't admitting that they knew what was going on here?
Well, that's a good point and a great question. I think the differences are the similarities between the British Open and the Open played at Chambers Bay was probably in the firm and fast conditions and the idea that the ball runs out. But just because the golf course kind of looked the same and the ball did run out, there are some major, major differences between the golf courses that they play traditionally at the Open Championship at Chambers Bay. You touched on one, that is the elevation change. You know, typical British Open golf courses might have somewhere between, 15 and 50 feet of elevation change. Mm-hmm. Chambers had 200 feet. The other is just the width. Many of the British Open golf courses sit on a very small footprint, and the fairways might only be 35 yards wide, and then you're kind of in the hay. Chambers had a number of fairways that were 70, 80 yards wide, but being on the left half of the fairway might not have been a good place to be. So I think there were some inherent differences, just the ground contour as well. Many of the British Open golf courses, the greens are fairly flat. The only one that really has pretty significant contours is the Old Course, which we'll see coming up this year. So even though it kind of had some of the same look, it could still take somebody by surprise, I think.
Jay Blasey is with us with Jay Blasey Design. Jay was the project architect at Chambers Bay, which hosted the U.S. Open last week out there in University Place, Washington. Jay, the USGA comes in, and they pretty much take over a course. Did they change much of what you and the Robert Trent Jones Jr. team did at Chambers Bay? Was there a lot of huge differences?
Not a lot. There were a couple, I think there were two green complexes that got reworked and made larger so that more balls ended up on the putting surface in regulation. That would be hole 7 and 13. They played around with some bunkers. Obviously, they added the deep bunker on 18 in the second landing area. But I think probably the biggest thing would be, they added rough. For when the golf course first opened and for everyday play, there was no rough on the golf course at all. So the fairways, as big as they were for the Open, they were much bigger for everyday play. A regular everyday golfer, could never lose a golf ball out there and was traditionally, playing off fairway. So they did bring in rough. That was noticeable on holes 2 and 6 and whatnot. And then obviously they work hand in hand with the turf care team at the golf course about, selecting what the green speeds are going to be and what the firmness is going to be and whether or not they put water on the golf course the night before, things like that.
And Jay, I think those changes you're talking about, were all of those made after the amateur in 2010?
Those were.
Sometimes you get a golf course that plays the same way on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that it did on Thursday. Was this the case at Chambers Bay, being there, watching the play, and knowing the course like you do? Did you see great differences from day to day?
I did not see it day to day in terms of how it played, but one of the key elements of Chambers Bay was the flexibility in the course design and in the potential setup. Mike Davis and his team who set up the golf course, they had almost 100 yards or more on every single hole that they could move the tees forward or back. They oftentimes had different angles they could use, and then even they could play around with the elevation so they could move up or down elevation-wise. So they had a great deal of flexibility. They certainly used that. I think you could watch from day to day, and on any given hole they might have been 70-yard difference of where the tees were. So that came through. I think the golf course was really set up in terms of a conditioning standpoint, very similar all 4 days and even throughout the practice round weeks. And you didn't notice a big change from day to day, but what you did notice is you noticed a change from morning to afternoon. So they put water out the night before, and in the morning, some of that moisture was retained and whatnot, but we had basically a full week of warm, sunny weather. And you would notice that in the afternoons that, that moisture was gone. The golf course firmed up, it sped up, and then with the high-def television zoomed in, you would notice the difference between you know, how the fescue grows throughout the day and how the poa grows throughout the day on some of the greens.
We're with Jay Blasey, Jay Blasey Design, talking about Chambers Bay and last week's U.S. Open. Jay's going to stay with us, and we'll continue on the other side, pick up where we left off. Jay Blasey, golf architect, Jay Blasey Design with us today here on Tee to Green. Jay Ritchie, Jerry Butenoff from the Broadmoor Resort, Scott Cuddy at Master Control, and this is Tee to Green.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance, or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242, 800-614-1242, 800-614-1242. Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of Insphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
It's the show by golfers for golfers, Tee to Green, live and in real time on the internet at sportsbyline.com. Replay at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And for you folks who catch the show on the replay at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, if you ever want to catch us live, we are on at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 11 on sportsbyline.com. You can get there by checking out our website, teetogreenradio.com. While you're there, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, too, at sportsbyline. USA, Jay Ritchie, Jerry Butenoff. We do the show from the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Just about every week we do a little traveling. In a couple weeks we'll be back at the Keystone Resort in Summit County, Colorado. Our guest is Jay Blasey from Jay Blasey Design. And Jay spent nearly 10 years as working at Robert Trent Jones Jr. And during that time he was the project architect at Chambers Bay, the golf course that they played the U.S. Open on last week in the state of Washington. Jay, of course, we can't discuss Chambers Bay and the Open without taking the good and the bad, and there was a lot of criticism about a couple of things, and we want to get into that right now. One of the things, people were kind of split on, I guess, were the fact that on 1 and 18 especially, one day you could play it as a par 4, one day you could play them as a par 5. How do you think overall that went?
That's a good question. You know, it's something that we all wondered about. It was a neat idea. I think it was something that was probably unique to Chambers Bay and some of the flexibility of the architecture. It was very clear to me, spending a lot of time with different players, that different players had very different opinions. I went around early in the week with Cole Hammer, the 15-year-old, and on hole number 18, for example, as a par 5, the hole set up very well for him. He had the right target off the tee. He could get this into a spot where he could hit a wedge into the green for a third shot, and he's a great wedge player. And so as a par 5, it set up to his eye really well. As a par 4, it was the narrowest landing area on the entire golf course. It was going to be a driver and a hybrid or a 3-wood into a very difficult green, and that was a real challenge for him. A couple days later, I went around with another guy, Jake Knapp, who's one of the longest hitters in the field, out there with Dustin Johnson. And as a par 5, he stood on the tee and couldn't figure out where to hit it. He couldn't find a line that felt comfortable to him and really did not like the hole as a 5. And then he got up as a par 4, and he blew it all over the trouble and had a 9-iron into the green, and he liked it a lot. So I think for many players, it really boiled down to their own game. But for us watching at home, I think it made for something interesting to talk about. I guess I don't really have strong feelings one way or the other. It seemed to just really boil down to the player and their specific game.
Jay, there was talk, I guess, Saturday night on both networks, Fox and the Golf Channel, about how the 18th was going to be set up on Sunday. And I think the USGA probably made the decision on 18, and then, you know, number one fell into place. They were all thinking it was going to be a par 4. I think they made the right decision making it a 5 again on Sunday, because I think as a 5, it set up for a little more drama at the end. There was that chance of, you know, eagle and birdie on the last hole, and we saw how that played out, you know, with Jordan and then Dustin missing his chances. I just think that on the excitement factor for a big tournament like that, I think it worked nice as a 5 at the end.
Absolutely, and you couple that with what happened at 16, you know, where you can make that a drivable 4-par. You know, there's the potential for big swings. You know, we talked going into the championship that 16 might be a hole where somebody could make a 2 and somebody else could make a 7. So to be able to tune in for the last hour of the championship and, you know, watch somebody drive the green on 16, watch another guy hit it out of bounds on 16, watch somebody struggle to get on the green in 3 on 18, and watch another guy hit it to a foot in 2 shots on 18. Plenty of drama, absolutely. Can't debate that at all.
That's for sure. Plenty of drama. And most of the criticism from players, from fans, from even casual viewers came directed at the greens and the mixture of grasses on the greens, the way it looked on TV. As a guy very involved in all of that, how did you feel about that?
Well, I thought, you know, There's no debating that the condition of the greens and was not what anybody would have wanted for that championship. Having said that, I think that you know, people need something to talk about. It was probably blown out of proportion. I was on the ground, and then I watched it on TV. And what you would see on TV with high definition television zoomed in was looked a heck of a lot worse than what you would see standing there in person. I think the conditions of the greens, all told, probably had much more of a mental factor on players than it actually did on their putts. I think they got probably psyched out by looking down and seeing grass that looks different than what they play week in and week out. I felt bad for the turf care team at Chambers Bay. These are guys who really, really know what they're doing and have spent the last 7 years working their tail off to have everything be perfect. And really, what you saw was just a byproduct of some weather in that, you know, if you're going to have a week of sustained 80 degree plus temperatures and bright sunshine, and up in the Northwest it gets light out at 5 a.m. and doesn't get dark till 10, it's just a byproduct of how those two different grasses grow, and particularly when they're stressed. You know, for a championship setup, they try and push things to the limit and have the greens be as fast as they can, and to do that, you kind of cut them a little shorter, maybe roll them more and whatnot. And fescue is fairly comfortable at a little bit higher height of cut, and with a little higher height of cut, you probably don't see the difference between the two grasses as much. So, the only thing that really bothered me was there was a, if you listen to some of the talking heads, they tried to imply that, the turf care team didn't know what they were doing, and that just isn't the case. Those are great guys who really are excellent at what they do and pour their heart and soul into the play.
Jay, as someone who grew up in the Midwest in Minnesota and playing on courses up there, all I ever saw was bent grass greens and bent grass only. We've had various designers on the show here before, and we've never had time to talk about this to get a real answer. Greens with different grasses, of course, you touched on this, how, you know, they grow at different speeds. Why is that? I mean, is there an advantage to having greens with two or three types of grasses in any part of the country?
No, I don't think so. I think and there wasn't a choice. We didn't choose to have the different grasses at Chambers Bay. So traditionally what happens is, when you build the golf course, you started out with one particular grass. And in the upper Midwest, you know, that's often a bent grass. On the West Coast, it's often a bent grass. And then obviously in the Deep South, it's typically a Bermuda grass. So you start out that way. And then POA, which, you know, obviously became a big talking point last week, oftentimes comes in. It's essentially a weed. And it thrives under certain conditions, but it'll come in the Midwest, it'll come in the West Coast, it'll come in kind of everywhere, particularly on the West Coast with this maritime climate where, it never gets too hot, never gets too cold, just kind of some moisture in the air, whatnot. So when that POA comes in, that's when you end up with the kind of two different grasses, and they grow at different heights and speeds, and they just have a different culture to them. Oftentimes what happens to a golf course is over time, the POA creeps in, and then eventually the green becomes a POA green. And if it's all POA, then you can manage the green to the POA. So if you look at a golf course like Oakmont, Oakmont has POA greens, but they've been managed to the POA for, 70 years, and obviously they performed very well. So I think what happened was, last week you just saw a golf course that was dominantly fescue with some POA, and just because of that weather last week, the POA was sprouting and blooming and coming up, and it allowed you to see the difference.
Jay Blasey Design. Jay has moved on from Chambers Bay to open up Jay Blasey Design. Jay, what you got any projects on the burner right now?
Yeah, I'm working on one. Here in California, the drought is the major thing on all of our minds, and so I'm working on an exciting project down in Southern California, a private club in Orange County, Santa Ana Country Club. We're going to take an existing golf course and essentially blow it up and build a new one on the same site. And the new one we're going to be able to capture kind of the golden age history of the club itself, and so create something that looks like it's been there for 100 years. But in doing so, we're going to remove 30-plus acres of turf and limit our water use by probably 35 to 40%. So very excited about that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we appreciate you again for taking the time to come on, talk a little golf design, golf architect, and Chambers Bay here on Tee to Green, and continued success, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Jay Blasey Design with us today here on Tee to Green. Coming up, hopefully, we're going to talk about golf in Western Nebraska. GolfTheWestTour.com. It's a co-op of five Western Nebraska golf courses who've gotten together to promote golf in that area of the state. We'll also take a look at what's going on this week's tours and that U.S. Open Senior Championship as well. It's all coming up on Tee to Green.